Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Are you the one?
Are you the one?
You're the one.
I am against building more nuclear power plants because I do not think we have a safe way to dispose of the waste. I think they're dangerous, they're great terrorist targets, and they're extraordinarily expensive.
Is John Edwards the one to make sure that the issue of nuclear power is raised on the Democratic side of the presidential campaign? He's the only candidate who outright opposes the construction of new nuclear plants. And the nuclear power question came up, as you heard there, in this week's Democratic debate because the Nevada caucuses are on Saturday and the Yucca Mountain Nuclear Waste Depository is one of the most controversial issues in that state. The Republican candidates, by and large, all support loosening the reins on nuclear power construction. We really haven't had a new power plant in this country, a nuclear one, in decades. But the Nevada debate, of course, has national implications. Oh, and by the way, would these candidates shut down Indian Point? You might like to know that around here. We will look at the candidates' positions on nuclear power now with advocates on either side of the issue. Gwyneth Cravens is the author of Power to Save the World, The Truth About Nuclear Energy. Jim Riccio is a nuclear policy analyst for Greenpeace USA. Is it Riccio or Riccio?
Riccio.
Thanks a lot for coming on WNYC today, both of you.
My pleasure.
And
my pleasure.
We open up our phones, as always, when we're talking about the issues, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to our comments page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. So let's just start by comparing the presidential candidates' positions on the Democratic side. Mr. Riccio from Greenpeace, is it fair to say that John Edwards is the most anti-nuke?
It would be fair to say he and Mr. Kucinich, but of the three leading candidates, yeah, it would be fair to say that Mr. Edwards is much more anti-nuclear than either Mr. Obama or Mrs. Clinton. Although I thought it was a little disingenuous of Mrs. Clinton to point out in that debate that Mr. Obama was taking money from Exelon, the nuclear utility in Illinois, when she was taking money from Entergy as well as from the corporation down in Texas that wants to build new reactors.
Right. And in the debate, though, Clinton pointed out that Edwards voted for the Yucca Mountain Waste Depository when he was in the Senate. So is his position a change?
I think it's more of a development. Yucca Mountain, as the science has come out, it's been a lot easier to come to the notion that Yucca Mountain is not a sound solution to our waste problems. And so I think his position has probably developed over time as more of the science has come out on how inappropriate burying waste in Yucca Mountain would be.
Ms. Cravens, talk about the Yucca Mountain issue as you see it, and then we'll get back to the candidates. This is one of the biggest objections that people still have to nuclear power, and that is that they see no good way to dispose of the waste. And obviously this is a big issue in Nevada, which is supposed to be the repository for so much of the country's nuclear waste.
Yes, not only from commercial nuclear power, but high-level waste from, say, South Carolina, from the defense side, high-level waste that accumulated during the Cold War. And that waste has to go somewhere. And the people in South Carolina, I'll be interested to see what the candidates, if anyone asks them about Yucca Mountain in South Carolina, have to say, because those people would like the high-level waste trucked out and stored safely in the middle of a remote desert in a mountain on the Nevada test site, which is surrounded by thousands of miles of nothing owned by the federal government and pockmarked by many atomic bomb craters. I've been to Yucca Mountain, and I've talked to a lot of people on the project. It hasn't been well managed by the government, I have to say that, in terms of research. They never had a lead laboratory, and that's very important. To have a national laboratory through which all the scientific data, all the studies, all the research is funneled, peer-reviewed by external scientists, you know, people outside the project and inside the project. However, there's a huge amount of data. That mountain, that region, that geological area, the water table experts, the hydrologists, and so on, have studied this to a fairly well, and there are thousands of documents and studies. And overall, the conclusion is that it will work. It's extremely arid. The rainfall is very small. They even have put sprinklers on the top of the mountain to experiment with running, saturate, you know, how much water does it take to really leak inside the mountain.
Mm-hmm. And you're saying it's pretty well protected as far as you're concerned?
Yes, it is. It's
let me follow up on one thing, though. You talked about hundreds of miles of nothing around Yucca Mountain. Isn't it only 80 miles from Las Vegas?
It's 80 miles from Las Vegas, but in terms of square miles surrounding, it's on the Nevada test site, which is, you can't just drop by, and where they actually bury low-level waste in the bomb craters. Well, maybe not. I'm actually not sure about that, but they do bury low-level waste in pits there. There's the only way nuclear materials can move when they're stored in a geologic repository is if water flows through the area.
All right, and you were just talking about how well...
And they don't have flowing water there.
Mr. Riccio, do you want to disagree on the issue?
You're going to have a 10-year-long lawsuit by the state of Nevada suing the federal government over the applicability of Yucca Mountain as a federal repository for radioactive waste. I don't think Ms. Craven and I are going to solve it here, but when you have the massive opposition that you already have, when you have massive problems with the science, when you've had front-page stories going back a decade ago on the cover of the New York Times magazine claiming you have water running through the mountain, you have a lot of issues about how you're going to store this waste. It is not a solved problem. It's nowhere near to being solved. And burying a bunch of waste and waiting for it to reach the water table is not a sound solution.
Let me get back to that.
So what's your solution?
Go ahead.
It needs to be monitored, retrievable, in perpetuity, because nothing you're going to put it in is going to last as long as the waste. I'm sorry, but you're going to have to be responsible about waste rather than just throwing it into the biosphere and hoping that the planet deals with it.
It's being isolated from the biosphere,
being responsible is not
only
one at a time.
Actually very good at.
One at a time. Mr. Riccio, finish your thought.
I was saying being responsible is not what the nuclear industry is very good at. Every low-level waste dump that they've built is leaking. And the fact is they're having major problems even citing low-level waste dumps, let alone a high-level waste dump. But then again, this is also about building new reactors. You don't even have enough room in Yucca Mountain to store the waste we already have from the weapons plants, let alone from the commercial facilities. And you're going to need another Yucca Mountain if you continue this push for new nuclear power, which is nonsensical, is economically unviable, and basically threatens our nation by placing more terrorist targets throughout the country.
We're talking about nuclear power as an issue in the presidential race on the Democratic side, primarily because the Republicans, for the most part, agree they want more nuclear power in America. But on the Democratic side, there is disagreement. Who says there are no issues between these leading candidates? Gwyneth Cravens is the author of Power to Save the World, The Truth About Nuclear Energy. She's with us along with Jim Riccio, a nuclear policy analyst for Greenpeace USA. Our phones are full. We will get to some of you in a minute at 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Our comments page always has room at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And so just to get back to the candidates and their differences for a minute, we heard how opposed John Edwards is to building more nuclear power plants as a way to help stave off global warming. Barack Obama has taken the position, as I understand it, that since nuclear provides 70% of non-carbon generated electricity, it won't be possible to meet goals for aggressively reducing global warming emissions without nuclear power. Mr. Riccio, is that your understanding of Barack Obama's position, that he's now saying more nuclear power in America is a necessity?
I'm not sure it's that strong a position. He's saying he's not into phasing it out because it represents 20% of our electricity needs, et cetera. But to think that nuclear power is going to save us from global warming is just nonsensical.
Why do you say that?
Because I know that every dollar you spend on energy efficiency and renewables goes 7 to 10 times further than a dollar spent on nuclear. And that's because nuclear is prohibitively expensive. You know, the first 75 reactors constructed in this country experienced a $100 billion cost overrun. And that was before they melted down Three Mile Island, before they melted down Chernobyl, and before, you know, supposedly the nuclear industry was quashed by the regulation
and,
of government.
And Ms. Cravens, I'm sure you're going to disagree with some of those conclusions, but staying on Obama for a minute, what do you make of his position? Because in addition to what I just said, he also insists, however, that nuclear power can't be expanded without more transparency, better security, and better waste storage. So as a proponent of nuclear power, how do you read the totality of Barack Obama's position?
I think he's a smart guy, and he knows that in terms of carbon-free energy generation, nuclear is very important. This is being understood by other countries around the world and certainly in Europe. Britain just has decided to continue the nuclear power there, and Sweden, most Swedes want to keep nuclear power going.
Do you
because
think
it's clean and safe? And the actual record of accidents in terms of large scale energy generation, if you look at that, nuclear power has the lowest deaths per terawatt year of any large-scale nuclear, any large-scale power generation. So without nuclear power, what we're going to have are more coal-fired plants being built. Now, Edwards has the idea that we don't need coal or nuclear, and probably by 2100 we won't, you know, we'll be on to something better. But in the short term, doing everything we can, including conservation, efficiency, renewables, all of that. We have to do everything, and nuclear has to be a part of that solution.
Let me ask you both.
Obama seems to get that.
So let me ask you to compare Clinton's position to Obama's. As I understand it, she says she would strengthen the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to improve the safety and security of nuclear plants. One of the criticisms is that they are very expensive to build as well, and Clinton says she would encourage research to bring down the costs. So
what's happening?
How different do you hear that as being from the Obama position?
Not much, actually.
There's a hair's breadth between the two.
They're similar, and the fact is, plants are more safe and more secure than they've ever been. The technology keeps improving. The new designs are more inherently safe.
Let Ms. Cravens finish her sentence.
Go ahead.
We've had one partial core meltdown. That was at Three Mile Island.
You've had more than one.
No one died. No one was exposed to enough radiation to show any uptick in diseases or anything like that.
Mr. Riccio, any other one in the United States?
Let's see. How about Fermi 2? You know, Ms. Craven should really go back and check her facts. We've had many meltdowns in this country. Fermi 2 was a commercial reactor. There's a book written about it called We Almost Lost Detroit. You probably should have looked at that before you wrote your book. But, you know, the fact is nuclear power plants represent
a major threat in this country. But no one died. And the point is
these reactors are surrounding Three Mile Island. So
you keep interrupting me, Brian.
Mr. Riccio, hang on 1 second. Now, I'll have to moderate a little more aggressively here. Mr. Riccio, tell me briefly about Fermi 2, where and when.
Oh, back in the 60s, basically up near Detroit. You know, there have been other core melts in this country as well in many of the test reactors.
She says nobody died.
I'm talking about commercial power, and I'm talking about no fatalities, no radiation sickness, nothing like that. Because the reactors are contained.
All right, one at a time. Now it's Ms. Craven's turn.
Okay.
All of the reactors in the United States are contained in buildings that are six feet thick. Chernobyl was uncontained. It had no containment. No. It was a Soviet reactor.
All right,
It was also dedicated to making plutonium.
Mr. Recchio, 30 seconds, then we're going to move on to another
Chernobyl
point.
Chernobyl had a containment that's better than the GE reactors we have on our current reactors. The reactors in this country, the containments were not designed to withstand a core melt accident, and in
they
fact,
were.
They will not.
They were.
In fact,
they certainly were. Plant, Idaho.
Ma'am,
all right, we're not going to
check your facts.
Well, we're obviously not going to get you to agree on that. But let's take a phone call as we talk about nuclear power as an issue in the Democratic primaries. Eric in Ossining, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Eric. You're on the air.
I'm sorry. I was surprised that I was on the air. I live in Ossining, and I just received my community planning emergency guide. we live within 10 miles of Indian Point, and you know, I have to go to the community center and pick up potassium iodide tablets for my wife and I. And you know, it's definitely a little bit of weight to have to live with. I definitely love the area, and I think the energy is the biggest issue right now. And the problem with nuclear plants is they produce a lot of energy, but our record on taking care of them and how we protect them, you know, it speaks for itself, and they're located all around major cities in America. And after all these exposés of undercovers going to chemical plants with their video cameras, you know, concerned citizens, just showing how easy it is to...
So what's your question with respect to the presidential race?
My question with respect to the presidential race?
Yes. Is it important to you that the candidates take a position on shutting down Indian Point?
I think that Indian Point definitely, you know, it's a big problem. I think that it has to be shut down.
All right, then Eric, I'm going to use that to ask Mr. Recchio from Greenpeace the question: have any of these candidates, Clinton, Edwards, Obama, Kucinich, taken a position that Indian Point should be shut down?
I don't believe so, and we would encourage Mrs. Clinton to take that position, considering the fact that you have you know, the governor of New York and the state of New York intervening right now trying to oppose the relicensing of that plant. That was a bad place to put a nuclear power plant in the first place. The government knew it. It never should have been built. And if anything does go wrong, you can't get people
out.
But
no candidate, including Clinton as the senator from New York, has taken a position one way or another.
No,
it's been such
Clinton
an issue.
Mrs. Clinton says the safety problems at the plant should be repaired during relicensing.
Uh-huh.
So she's not opposing the relicensing of the plant.
Okay. And you don't know if Edwards has weighed in to that
I
degree.
I haven't seen that Edwards has weighed into the New York fight.
Let me play a clip of Senator Clinton. This is from the Nevada debate the other night.
Well, I voted against Yucca Mountain in 2001. I have been consistently against Yucca Mountain. I held a hearing in the Environment Committee, the first that we've had in some time, looking at all the reasons why Yucca Mountain is not workable. The science does not support it.
Now, Ms. Cravens, the conditions that Obama and Clinton have laid out for supporting more nuclear power plants in the United States. And we haven't had a new one built in decades, correct?
Correct.
So if that's going to change, they seem to be laying down these conditions, as we mentioned before, as articulated by Obama, for example. The nuclear power can't be expanded without more transparency, better security, and better waste storage. Clinton says she would need research to bring down the cost. She would need a stronger nuclear regulatory commission to improve the safety and security of nuclear plants. Do you think those are just posturing because ultimately they give them an excuse to never support nuclear power? Or do you think those are conditions that could be met in the political process enough to get a President Clinton or a President Obama to support nuclear power?
I think they will both support it, because they know a couple of things. One is we can't have energy independence without nuclear power and without increasing it. We cannot, if they're both serious about reducing carbon emissions, and I think Obama really is, I think he really gets the global warming problem, we have to phase out fossil fuel plants. Coal-fired plants kill 24,000 Americans a year from coal combustion alone.
But to stay on the question.
Hundreds of thousands of cases of lung and cardiac disease. Nuclear plants do not cause disease and they do not kill people in the United States.
But to stay on the question, Mr. Riccio, I know you'll disagree with her content there, this more transparency. In fact, let me play a clip of Obama from the debate. We've heard Clinton and Edwards. Here's a little of what Obama said.
Now, with respect to nuclear energy, what I have said is that if we could figure out a way to provide a cost-efficient, safe way to produce nuclear energy, and we knew how to store it effectively, then we should pursue it, because what we don't want is to produce more greenhouse gases.
So, Mr. Riccio, again, you heard Ms. Cravens predict that these things will be done to the satisfaction of a President Obama or a President Clinton, not a President Edwards. But do you think, just politically speaking here, that he would be likely to declare at some point, okay, there's enough transparency, there's enough security, there's enough waste storage that's safe, the NRC is strong enough, he and Mrs. Clinton, you think they would wind up coming to yes as president?
Not necessarily. And I actually believe it comes down less than what they've said about, you know, the transparency of the NRC or how well NRC regulates. It really comes down to whether or not nuclear power is affordable. And each of the reactor corporations that have been coming to Washington hat in hand looking for a handout have acknowledged that they're not going to build new reactors unless the government ensures that they don't lose money. You know, if this were actually a viable industry, you'd be having reactors built. What's going on is they're basically waiting to see that the government hands them money so as to make sure that they don't lose money like they did the last go-round.
Those are loan guarantees. They're not being handed money.
Every one of the reactors that have cited new reactors have been paid by the Department of Energy to cite new reactors. So go back and take a look at your facts once again.
Let me get one more caller in here, and you're going to disagree on the fact, obviously. But Richard in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning. You answered, I have two questions. You answered the first one, so I'll ask you another one. My first question is, in the countries you cited where nuclear energy is safe, are the reactors operated by private companies or by the government?
And what's your other question?
And my second question is, what is the prospect for nuclear energy by fusion rather than fission?
Let me get about 20 seconds from each of you to Richard. Ms. Cravens?
Fusion is about 50 years away at any point, at any time that you say to bring up fusion.
It's always 50
years away. It's a long-term idea that might work very well. France gets 80% of its electricity from nuclear power. It has the lowest carbon emissions in Europe, along with Switzerland and Sweden, which are also nuclear and hydro. And it is a government-run operation with standardized reactors. They make nuclear power is a very cheap prospect. They sell electricity to other countries, and they have clean skies and high-speed trains running on it.
20 seconds, Mr. Riccio. France as a model.
France is a socialist country. We are a capitalist country. I'm not sure the French model would work here and hasn't. We have been trying to standardize our designs, but the capitalist system where you have multiple vendors doesn't really lend to standardization. The French also have a whole bunch of plutonium sitting around. From reprocessing their waste, which is
fuel.
A problem.
They make it back. They put it back into fuel.
And you know what? That is as good a point as any in this conversation to leave it. Obviously, a lot of disagreement on the facts, but I think we have clarified where Clinton and Obama and Edwards stand on this, and yet another issue where there are actually some differences on the Democratic side, and we continue to talk about the issues in our primary series here on WNYC. I want to thank Gwyneth Cravens, author of Power to Save the World, The Truth About Nuclear Energy, and Jim Riccio, nuclear policy analyst for Greenpeace USA. Thanks, both of you, very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.